Forget the pressure to overhaul your life. The new year doesn't need a new you. It needs you. Grounded, supported, and ready to grow. Grow Therapy helps you make meaningful change at your pace and on your time. Whether it's your first time in therapy or your 50th, Grow makes it easier to find a therapist who fits you, not the other way around. They connect you with thousands of independent, licensed therapists across the U.S., offering both virtual and in-person sessions, nights, and weekends. You can search by what matters, like insurance, specialty, identity, or availability, to get started in as little as 2 days. And if something comes up, you can cancel up to 24 hours in advance at no cost. There are no subscriptions and no long-term commitments. You just pay per session. Grow helps you find therapy on your time. Whatever challenges you're facing, Grow Therapy is here to help. Grow accepts over 100 insurance plans, including Medicaid, in some states. Sessions average about $21 with insurance, and some pay as little as $0, depending on their plan. Visit growtherapy.com/get started today to get started. That's growtherapy.com/get started. growtherapy.com/get started. Availability and coverage vary by state and insurance plan.
Guess what I did today?
Oh my God, what'd you do?
I did a really good no big deal.
I haven't said, oh, you did?
I did a really good
remind
no big deal.
Remind them what
okay,
it is.
Okay, so you know when you just want to like throw like a blanket or like a pillow, you want to make it look like my mom always says, like, no big deal.
Yeah,
like you didn't try really hard. It just happens to look like that.
Over the back of a chair.
It was on our couch because I'm a big like under a blanket watching TV girly. So
I was
just like straightening up today. Not like I was laying around today. I'm just saying I was like straightening up the living room and I did a perfect no big deal blanket that will be ruined when I go home and watch TV.
Oh my God.
Tonight, but I did it and I felt really good about it.
I want to look you in the eye and say congratulations.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
It feels awesome. It feels really good.
Hi, Julia Bentivali.
Hi, Patrick Hines.
Look, we got to tell the fam, we've got a YouTube channel. We are loving it so much. Tell them what's going on right now.
So we redid our studio, so we actually have space.
Yeah.
And we're sitting in these new chairs, and we have like a whole new setup now. It's amazing.
We're redesigning for YouTube. It's not all the way there yet. We're going to add a little more decoration or whatever. But like, we are so invested in YouTube. Fam, if you haven't checked it out yet, just follow the link in the show notes here, or just search True Crime Obsessed on YouTube. People are subscribing to the channel. People are watching our
videos.
We give good YouTube.
Do we? Okay, good.
I know you don't like to watch it, but like,
it just makes me self-conscious.
I know. But I get really into it, and I like, we're very expressive. It's very, very fun. Even for me, it's fun to watch us.
Great.
Yeah.
I'm in.
So that's it. Check it out. True Crime Obsessed on the YouTube. What are we talking about today, girl?
Okay. Worst Ex Ever. This is the series on Netflix. It's episode 3. It's called Killing for Custody.
Most murders are committed by people that you know. But having an entire family involved is definitely a rare sight.
Honey, where's this thing?
All of a sudden, we started screaming. What are you doing?
It felt like a shot. He's got his little 2-year-old daughter with him.
We had no idea what we had. Who's my suspect? Who's my victim?
I am very lucky to be alive today. If they had gotten away with it, you know, my daughter would never know who I was. But I did step up to this challenge and I did persevere.
So first of all, these worst ex-evers, roommates ever, like they open so like horrifyingly horror movie-like.
Yes. And this is like a horror movie.
It's the Blumhouse, wherever you say it. They're the one who makes all those. Like my butt clenches the second we get the first note of music.
It's terrifying. So we're with Eric. It's the early 2000s. We're in California.
Yeah.
He's starting a new career. He works for the Alameda County Social Services. He's an eligibility technician.
He loves that he gets to like help people on a grand scale.
He loves it.
Yeah.
He loves his job. And he says he's not very social, but he has like his small core group of friends. They hang out. They do what they do. Ryan, Eric's BFF, is here. And I fucking love Ryan.
I just want to say
Ryan sees everything for what it is.
He's the you of the group.
I love Ryan.
But he also, these guys are so wonderfully nerdy.
Oh, the
these
best.
Are the guys that are like, Like at one point, Ryan talks about how it's not honorable to say not nice things.
They're very sweet.
They're so... And Ryan's like, we've been friends for like 30 years. Yep. And by friends, I mean we get together and play Xbox all weekend.
Yeah, they hang out. They play video games. Ryan calls them kindred spirits.
Yeah.
He's like, they're great.
They're so sweet.
And Ryan has the most amazing things to say about Eric.
Eric is very bright. Man's got a mind like an encyclopedia. Good person, good friend, all around a good guy. If you have a problem with a man like him, then it's probably on you.
If you have a problem with a man like him, then that's on you.
I'm sorry.
Like, that's a life goal for someone to say about me.
1,000,000%. I gotta stop the recording for 1 second and just say, like, it is so amazing to look across the room and see your face.
Well, for the people at home.
Sorry, fam, we won't do this every week, but we gotta tell you, it's very different in here.
We used to have this big, it's a very small studio,
yeah.
This space.
It feels big now,
though. It feels big now, but we had this really, this, like, too big round table that took up a lot of space. But we had, like, the ring light and then the phone camera
and
stand.
Our computers.
Wires everywhere, chargers everywhere, and everything was blocking our view to each other. We couldn't see, we truly could not see
each
other.
I'm seeing your beautiful face for the first time in 3 years. Tell
them
how we're sitting.
Oh, I'm sitting like crisscross applesauce.
Me too. Like on these chairs, you have like a hot pink chair.
It's very cool.
I'm screaming about how cool this is.
Very cool.
Yeah.
I'm going to change the chair angle.
Okay, great. It's going to be a lot of that for the first couple weeks.
Yeah.
So anyway, in 2002, Eric tells us he was assigned to a training and he happened to be sitting next to this woman named May. And they started chatting and they got along and she was cool. And, you know, she made friends. She's like that lady in the office that's like kind of friends with everybody.
Yeah. So it's October 2000. May invites Eric to go on a hike with some coworkers because all these coworkers get along and like socialize outside of work.
This is no shade to Eric. He does not strike me as the hiking kind. You know what I mean?
I think he...
Ryan's like, you're doing what today?
Yeah. And I think he was like, you know what? He was like trying to make... move, you know,
yeah.
He was trying to be like, okay, yes, I will.
I'm a hiker now.
Yeah, why not? He loves his job, loves his coworkers. He's like trying new things. But
Ryan's like over here playing Xbox by himself for the first time in decades.
And by the end of this, Eric is like, this is why you never go on hikes. Like, this is why.
Blame it on the hike.
See, I kind of do. Because when May picks up Eric, she's with her daughter, Rosa. And that's when Eric meets Rosa for the first time.
Now, at first, Rosa sounds like interesting.
Rosa was an engineer at a tech company. She had a very strong, logical mind, very analytical. I was just fascinated by when she would tell me about her history working in Silicon Valley, and she seemed to enjoy the stupid jokes I would say and make.
Eric is describing her as having like a strong, logical mind, very analytical. I love people like this. I am not like this.
Yeah.
So I love meeting people who are very smart and like critically think about things.
And he was fascinated by her and was like really genuinely interested in what she did.
For those of us who go through the world with the meow, 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 meow song in our head all day long, the analytical thinkers of the world, the people like you, it's why we're such a good duo.
And remember, this was 2000, so the internet and tech was really new. So Eric was like fascinated by her and he goes, she laughed at all my dumb jokes. Eric is like, I kind of couldn't believe it. I'm with a beautiful woman. It's a beautiful day. She's really smart. She thinks I'm funny. Like, is this heaven?
Forget the pressure to overhaul your life. The new year doesn't need a new you. It needs you. Grounded, supported, and ready to grow. Grow Therapy helps you make meaningful change at your pace and on your time. Whether it's your first time in therapy or your 50th, Grow makes it easier to find a therapist who fits you, not the other way around. They connect you with thousands of independent, licensed therapists across the U.S., offering both virtual and in-person sessions, nights, and weekends. You can search by what matters, like insurance, specialty, identity, or availability, to get started in as little as 2 days. And if something comes up, you can cancel up to 24 hours in advance at no cost. There are no subscriptions and no long-term commitments. You just pay per session. Grow helps you find therapy on your time. Whatever challenges you're facing, Grow Therapy is here to help. Grow accepts over 100 insurance plans, including Medicaid, in some states. Sessions average about $21 with insurance, and some pay as little as $0, depending on their plan. Visit growtherapy.com/get started today to get started. That's growtherapy.com/get started. growtherapy.com/get started. Availability and coverage vary by state and insurance plan.
Now, Eric, it seems like such an awesome... If I met him, I would 100% be his friend. I'd 100% be like, take me to Ryan's for Xbox. I've never done that one time in my life.
It's fun.
I want to do it with you guys.
It's fun.
And like, but he's describing Rosa. I don't know. It's like the first girl that's ever like taken him seriously.
Yeah. And like, they're hitting it off. He's genuinely interested in her. It seems like it's mutual. Again, she laughs at his jokes. Like, he can't believe what's happening to him.
Yeah.
And that's all like on this day of first meeting
her.
So he builds up the courage to ask Rosa out. And he's like, over the next few months, we just had a ton of fun. Lots of trips, lots of dates. Like, all his friends saw how excited he was. And we meet his father, Gregory.
Yeah.
They talk at least once a week, sometimes more. They're very close.
Yeah.
And everyone is just saying that Eric seemed happy. Now, what I'm not hearing is, oh my God, Rosa was the best.
No.
Like, she really brings out the best in Eric. They bring out the best in each other. What I'm hearing is, we love Eric.
Uh-huh.
Eric loves Rosa. We love that Eric's happy. We're just doing our best.
It's like, the show is called Worst Ex Ever. And I'm thinking, Eric's not the bad guy.
Eric is not the bad guy. And everyone was like, Eric was really happy. We've never seen him like this. So they're supporting what is making Eric happy. But I'm not hearing a single, like, Rosa was great. She was a real peach and she was super fun to be around.
In fact, Gregory, the dad, is like,
I met her fairly soon, I guess, into it. And I would ask her questions. She would whisper in his ear. And Eric would answer.
Like, you'd be like, Rosa, tell me about your job.
Right.
How are you today?
And then she'd, like, lean into Steve's ear.
Right. And, like, and she would cup her face, whisper to him, and then Eric would answer for her. And BFF Ryan is like, yeah, I couldn't figure out what that was all about.
And it's the kind of thing where, like, Eric hasn't had a lot of girlfriends, so maybe he doesn't know that this is really bizarre.
And Gregory, the dad, says, we just assumed she was really shy, but looking back, it was her way of controlling everyone in the room.
Well, because she's not just doing that. She's, like, listening in on the phone calls.
Well, also, like, just to go back to the whispering thing, it's fucking weird.
It's
like,
weird.
I don't know if I'm allowed to say that or anymore, but like, can you just say it's rude?
Yeah.
Can you just acknowledge the person speaking to you?
And it's also like, Eric, you can do that too. Like, you know what I mean? When you're the when you're the other half of that relationship, it's okay to be like, don't do that.
And I'm sure she was like, well, like a million reasons why she had to do that. She's so whatever.
But like, equally as egregious is like the person over listening on the phone. Like,
Eric used a code word with his father
dad.
To let his father know it wasn't a private call. The minute you need code words about this kind of shit, run.
Now, the thing is, like, even in a much smaller way, I've done this where you make excuses for the crazy people in your life.
Always.
You know what I mean?
But code words.
And then you've got a friend looking you in the face being like, this one's crazy. You
and
should
saying,
just
I can't do this anymore. I can't do this again.
Not again.
How many times? How many times do I have to live through this? And this is what BFF Ryan says, the honorable thing. He's like,
I had this uncomfortable feeling about her. I could sense there was a certain tension beneath the surface. I didn't want to say anything at the time because I didn't feel it was honorable to do so. So I held my tongue. It's the quiet one you have to watch out for.
I didn't feel it was honorable to say something, but he's
honorable,
like,
he says.
Yeah.
Because we're living in the 1500s.
He's like, the vibes were off from day one.
It was dishonorable of him.
It was dishonorable discharge.
Yeah.
And he goes, it's the quiet ones you have to watch out for.
It was a dishonorable discharge.
You know?
Yeah, but like, I don't know about that.
I don't know either.
Love a quiet person who's like, they're not all crazy. And like, I know that like, we saying the word crazy is a catch-all, but like, she's crazy.
And she and her mother are both fucking insane.
Yeah.
As we will get to later. But I mean, this show is called Worst Ex Ever. It's not like greatest relationship of all time or else. Like,
a relationship that ended not greatly. It's not what this is called.
Like, please.
No.
So it's February 14th, 2004. It's Valentine's Day. They've been dating for 4 years. Eric proposes to Rosa. She says yes.
Yeah.
And now we learn about Selma.
Can we slow down a second on like he proposed on Valentine's Day? He goes.
Eric does things by the book.
That's exactly right.
The most romantic day. Like, why? What other day? In Eric's mind, what other day is there to propose? Honestly. Give me another day.
Tis the season and love was in the air, according to Eric. He does things by the book.
He does. He's like,
well,
my calculations say it's the most. And I love Eric. This is no shade to Eric.
I love him too.
It's just very sweet that he's like, obviously I'm going to propose to her
on Valentine's Day.
Like, there's no other day.
100%.
So this is when we learn about Selma, but Sally, her name is Selma. She goes by Sally. She's Eric's grandmother.
Yes.
My grandmother was really thrilled at the idea of possibly becoming a great-grandmother. I was very close with Sally ever since I was a little kid. She was a doting grandmother. She was a very generous person. She was also very friendly.
She loves Eric. They're super close. And she, like, is excited that we're planning a wedding.
100%.
She's happy for Eric. Again, nothing about Rosa. But she's excited. She's like, great. This is maybe something Eric, I can talk to Rosa about without her whispering to Eric. Like, Sally is in on the planning.
The way that Eric describes his grandmother in talking about all this, this relationship and the idea of a wedding and the great grandkid is like bringing life back into Sally. You know, I didn't usually see her this energetic. She was in her 80s.
Like, she loves all of this. She wants to be excited.
Yeah.
To her, it makes, like, the way Eric is like, I'm proposing on Valentine's Day. That makes sense.
Totally.
It makes sense for Sally. We're like, this will be a fun, exciting occasion, right? Should be, right? Like,
100%.
She's here for it. You know who else wants to be involved? Rose's mom, May.
Yeah.
So she had a quote.
I can't believe we haven't gotten this pitch out of this one yet.
She has, quote, a very forceful personality.
Yeah, which is funny.
Which is like the nicest way to say it.
Totally. I think it's interesting because I feel like Rosa also has a very strong personality, but we hear that Rosa defers to May.
So
it's like being passed down in that family.
So like Rosa did whatever she said and Eric did whatever Rosa said.
Uh-huh.
And so here we are.
Oh, God.
Because he says I'd follow Rosa anywhere. And it's like,
Is why we have practice relationships.
You know what I mean?
Because there are a lot of red flags that like looking back, you're like, oh.
Always looking back.
Uh-huh.
Always with the hindsight.
I know.
Always.
Not for you though.
No.
People
like
poor,
me.
Poor, tortured Cassandra.
You just know
people
it's patterns.
Like,
you hear the, like, exhaustion in my voice?
I know.
I'm not alone in this.
No.
I'm not alone.
You need to find more yous.
I need to find more me's.
Totally.
For sure.
And fewer me's.
Chaos does not equal interesting. We talk about it all the time.
Sometimes.
No, not. So May, of course, took over the wedding plans very quickly.
Rosa and May were really tight, and May often would step in. She was a very forceful personality that Rosa would usually follow. And so would I, because I basically would follow Rosa anywhere.
Sally can't be a part of it. No one could be a part of it. It's May's way or the freaking highway. So February 2004, they're engaged. By the next April, April 2nd, 2005, they get married.
Yeah.
And like Eric is thrilled. He loves Rosa. He
There's
loves his family.
There's probably some significance to that date for Eric. It's probably somebody's birthday.
Yeah, it's definitely not April 1st, thank God. Least favorite day of the year.
Oh my God.
And it's my friend's birthday too, April 1st.
I know that you hate April Fool's.
I hate April Fool's Day.
I was just watching a TikTok about a girl who taped a sign to the It's a sign to the back of the car that said a honk and flip off my mom for an April Fool's joke.
Oh my God.
And it happened 25. The mother is losing her mind.
Yeah.
It is. I was sobbing. I was laughing so hard.
It's just the reason I hate it is the internet.
Oh, yeah.
It's like September 11th and April 1st. I'm like offline.
Yeah.
I'm like not. I'm not believing anything. Don't tell me anything.
News, good,
bad, or indifferent. I'm not believing a single thing on April 1st. Like, I'm just not doing it.
Like,
and that sucks. Like, that's very annoying to have your guard up.
Did something happen to you on an April Fool's Day? Did you have a bad one?
No, it just annoys me.
Okay.
It irritates me. I think it's stupid.
I get it. But like watching these April Fool's Day pranks, some of them are awful to watch, but some of them are very funny.
So Eric is like thrilled. He's like, this is what I wanted my life to be. Like, this is it. This is my happily ever after. And even his dad is like, I mean, look, we were all trying really hard to be positive. No one wanted to be miserable. Like,
no.
Eric was happy, so they wanted to be happy. Like, and does anyone really super love their in-laws? Like, Eric's dad is
Hi,
just like,
hi, Judy.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, Eric's dad is like, look, I was being positive.
Yeah.
My son is in love.
Yeah.
He's happy. I'm going to kind of go with the flow and do my best. He's not trying to actively be miserable, which is what everyone else seemingly does
here. The other thing, too, is that, like, you can also be happy for your kid and not, like, love, like, the new wife. Just be, like, thrilled that he likes her. Fine, who cares?
But the thing is, Rosa is doing things that is making this worse for everyone.
Yes.
So she's super irritable leading up to the wedding. She's very stressed out. She wasn't having any fun planning it. Like, it wasn't a happy time for her, which, whatever.
I can understand that.
They go to Hawaii on their honeymoon, and Rosa hasn't lightened up at all.
When we got to Hawaii on our honeymoon, my hope was that Rosa could relax. Because during the preparations for the wedding, she was stressed out. I mean, planning was hard, and we just ended up having a lot of arguments. It's like she was always kind of agitated.
What is your problem? You just got married. The stress is over. You're in Hawaii for, I think, like 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Like, why do people insist on being miserable?
Well, I think we're going to learn that she never really wanted to be with him in the first place. But I think that we're going to learn that, the mom, pressured her to have kids. You know what I mean? I'm not making excuses for her, but it seems like she was faking it for a really long time, and now she's just done faking it.
But she never seemed happy.
Yeah.
She always seemed like a fucking drip or someone, you had to make excuses for or apologize for. She was never, light and fun to be around.
No, totally. But what always surprises me in these things is how easily people can hide their psychoticness.
Yeah.
Because there's a difference between being, irritable and not fun and annoying and being, a murderous psychopath.
Right.
We're going to find out.
Which is going to happen in 2 seconds.
Because on this honeymoon, Eric is saying, I wanted her to relax. All she wanted to do was argue. It gets to the point where, by the end of the first week, she's throwing punches at him.
Right. And he says, none of them landed, but it was a major red flag.
Yeah.
And just, that serious thing aside, why do you insist on being miserable at a beautiful resort on your honeymoon?
Totally.
I promise you, your problems will be there for you when you get
home. Totally.
You're at the resort.
Yep.
Lean into it.
Totally. 100%.
But she just insisted on being miserable. And so they must have been there for a really long time, because he says a week into our honeymoon, we had a big fight. That's a long honeymoon.
That's too long.
Yeah. So again, we see this all the time, especially with men, but they get married and then everything changes.
Totally.
So that's what is happening. And then on top of that, this train is never late, the money problems start.
After we were married and setting up our life together, I'd already gone deep into debt with the wedding and the honeymoon. I was working, but Rosa was not. So we started having money problems. We had a lot of arguments about that.
He paid for the wedding and the honeymoon. He was already in debt.
Yeah, and this is making the fighting get worse.
Right.
And once again, he says she never led with physical violence, but the fighting was all the time. I didn't want to go home. Oh. I'm afraid to be in my own house. And I knew that she wasn't afraid of the physical violence because of what had happened in Hawaii.
And Gregory, the dad, says she was super manipulative with money. So she was always pushing Eric to make the money and make more and more. And his own dad says it seems to me that Eric was the cash cow.
And she's now isolating Eric from his family.
She's slowly been doing the whole time.
Exactly.
That's the whispering and the this. It's all control.
How
listening
do they just
in on phone
know
calls.
How to instinctively do that?
It's like they have a playbook.
Yeah.
We say that it feels so repetitive because we say the same shit all the time, but it's always the same.
Yeah.
It's always the same thing. The isolation, the control.
And it's not like she has any friends and they're like, hey, you want to really fuck this guy's life up? Here's how you do it. They're born with it.
Her mother, too.
Yeah.
Her mother, that's the other thing. She's in this echo chamber of hate and misery and psychosis.
Oh, God. That sounds like a wonderful... That sounds great.
I
know.
Choosing to be miserable. So, again, right on cue, she isolates Eric from his friends and family. But now she's, more direct about it. So she's not just, whispering.
She's directly saying, I don't want you hanging out with your mom, your grandma, or that guy Ryan, that piece of shit.
And now BFF Ryan is I know exactly what's going on here.
Totally.
She is jealous of everyone else. And he says, and I stood up and did the slow clap, because BFF Ryan goes, she was doing the whole divide and conquer thing with
Eric.
And that's exactly what she was doing.
Yeah. But it's also, you can't tell him. No, Eric's not going
to
listen.
He might never talk to you again.
Yeah.
That's a very real risk that happens.
To tell you a story about a dear, dear friend who walked out of my life after his boyfriend was thrown in prison, and we're like, he's not the guy for you.
And that's it.
And then he walked out of my life.
It's so sad and lonely to be that person, because that person you spoke to knew you were right.
Yeah.
And that's why they couldn't talk to you anymore.
Oh, that's so awful.
Yeah,
if you're listening, call me. I'm right here.
Yeah, no one cares anymore.
Nobody cares.
We care about you, but it's fine. Once you're out of it, we say this all the time, call your friends.
My number's been the same since 1999.
It's
call me.
It's great. I told you a story where I had a very good friend of mine and her boyfriend sleazily hit on me, and I told her, and she never spoke to me again.
Oh, it's because you did the right thing. Telling her was the right thing to do.
Yeah, he called me. I hung up on him.
What did he say?
He was just don't tell, redacted and blah, blah, blah. He was a super fucking creep and I never liked him. And part of me was like, ooh, I have something now. I can say this thing.
Yeah,
this is something I can say because I didn't like him.
Yeah.
No one did. None of her friends did. And then I said, it was hard for me. It wasn't easy. I took no pleasure in it.
Of course not.
It was a horrifying conversation for me to have, but it didn't last very long because she was not hearing it and then never spoke to me again. It sucked.
Oh my God.
The whole thing sucked.
Is she welcome to call you?
Of course.
Okay, great.
Across
the board.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
But this is a very real worry that I'm sure Eric's friends are having. So a few months after they get married, Rosa gets pregnant. And I'm like, no.
No, but wait, Eric says this crazy thing.
I was really excited to become a father. We talked about having a traditional Catholic family, husband, pregnant wife, 6 kids. This is one of the things I was looking forward to.
6 kids.
Yeah, no.
6 kids.
Not for me.
Holy moly.
None of it's for me.
No, I cannot imagine you.
I'll go play the Xbox with Eric.
Totally.
With Ryan.
100%.
If you're shopping while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast, then you know and love the thrill of a deal. But are you getting the deal and cash back? Rakuten shoppers do. They get the brands they love, savings, and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Target, Nike, and Instacart. Stack sales on top of cash back and feel what it's like to know you're maximizing the savings. It's easy to use, and you can get your cash back sent to you through PayPal or check. The idea is simple. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back. Download the free Rakuten app or go to Rakuten.com to start saving today. It's the most rewarding way to shop. That's Rakuten, Rakuten.com.
Forget the pressure to overhaul your life. The new year doesn't need a new you. It needs you. Grounded, supported, and ready to grow. Grow Therapy helps you make meaningful change at your pace and on your time. Whether it's your first time in therapy or your 50th, Grow makes it easier to find a therapist who fits you, not the other way around. They connect you with thousands of independent, licensed therapists across the U.S., offering both virtual and in-person sessions nights and weekends. You can search by what matters, like insurance, specialty, identity, or availability, to get started in as little as 2 days. And if something comes up, you can cancel up to 24 hours in advance at no cost. There are no subscriptions and no long-term commitments. You just pay per session. Grow helps you find therapy on your time. Whatever challenges you're facing, Grow Therapy is here to help. Grow accepts over 100 insurance plans, including Medicaid, in some states. Sessions average about $21 with insurance, and some pay as little as $0, depending on their plan. Visit growtherapy.com/get started today to get started. That's growtherapy.com/get started. growtherapy.com/get started. Availability and coverage vary by state and insurance plan.
So June 21st, 2006, they're married for 1 year. Eric's daughter is born. He is thrilled and scared. All the new parent feelings.
It's all that stuff of like, he's afraid to hold the daughter because she's so tiny and fragile.
So in love. He's so happy. Like, to him, his dreams are coming true more and more. Yeah. Now he has this beautiful daughter.
Weird thing about kids, it's really hard to break them. You know, they fall off shit all the time. They're always putting stuff in their mouth. They're really hard to break.
They're like chaos goblins, for
they
sure.
They really are.
There's a point where it's just like, oh my God.
I know. There was a minute where Steve and I talked about having a second one. And I'm glad that we didn't, but I'm kind of like, and I only say this because I know all Daisy talks about is wanting to have kids, so I'm not putting like a want on this for her. I am like really excited for when she has kids.
Really?
Yeah, I like can't wait to be a grandpa.
What if she doesn't?
Then fine. Totally fine. But she talks about wanting kids all the time.
Yeah.
So if something changes, then fine, then whatever. I'm sure I'll have plenty of friends whose kids have kids or whatever.
Yeah.
But like, I'm kind of excited to have that energy back in my life in a way of like, come stay with grandpa for the weekend and then go home.
Yeah.
You know?
And like years and years from now.
That's what Steve says. Steve's like, that cannot be anytime soon.
So Eric is working 2 jobs. Rosa is working 0 jobs.
Yeah. I mean, this is, his schedule is, as a person who, if I'm not in bed by 8:15, I start to panic.
I know.
This is Eric's day.
I was working during the day at my job with Alameda County Social Services from like 8:30 to 5. But from 11:30 p.m., to 8 a.m., I would be working at the pharmacy, and then I would also work there on the weekends. So I was getting very, very little sleep.
Oh, and also on the weekends.
Right, and on the weekend, in between, he's not sleeping. He's going home and making dinner and being with his wife and kid, and then going to he's like maybe getting 2 hours of sleep a night.
So he'd get off work at 5 p.m., sleep for a few hours.
Maybe sleep for a few hours.
Then go to work from 11:30 p.m. through 5 p.m. the next day.
Yeah, exactly.
Like,
right.
That's crazy.
Because he goes right from the pharmacy back to the social services job.
Right.
Because Rosa doesn't want to get a job.
That's like 17 and a half hours of straight work.
And then on the, like, no time off on the weekends.
Yeah, plus weekends, plus you have a miserable partner making your life hell, plus you can't be with your kid.
Right, and like, even if she wanted to make the marriage better, which she doesn't, but even if she did, there's no time to do that. No relationship could survive this.
So Eric is living in hell, basically, and he's doing everything Rosa wants, but she's still finding things to get mad about.
Of course.
Because with people like this, it's never enough.
No.
Like, she's never going to be happy.
Right.
So now she starts threatening divorce. And Eric says, which is weird because she's a devout Catholic and they're not supposed to divorce.
Yeah.
But
and like,
Gregory, also, I don't subscribe to that. If you're in a shitty marriage and you need to get out, get out. I don't mean, care what your religion says.
That's of course. Like, that's of course. That's,
I don't care what religion it is.
Right.
If you need to get out of a situation, you get
you
out of
get
it.
You get out of it.
Don't hold back because of your religion.
Absolutely.
Give me
not.
A break.
But the dad, Gregory, is like, she was playing with him. She was saying, do what I say or I'm leaving. And it's like, what more can he possibly do?
Exactly.
He's working 17 hours a day.
Which is the point. It's all manipulation.
Right.
It's all manipulation.
Yeah. But it's also like, Rosa, then why don't you just fucking leave, girl? You know what I mean?
Right.
You get what you want. He's never around. He's making all the money. You're with the kid and your family all the time.
Right.
Why do you need him? He's like, he's basically just he's the ATM for you.
The thing is, he'd get a third job if you asked him to.
Exactly.
He would do anything you want. He said, like, he'd follow her into an active volcano.
Yeah.
So what is your problem? She's just a miserable person.
Right.
And evil.
Yeah.
So soon after their daughter is born, Rosa, quote, takes off. She basically moves in with her parents.
It was getting lonely and it was hard not being able to spend much time with my daughter. I was starting to suffer mental health issues. I was suffering a heavy depression. I had to, you know, go on medication for that. And it was a lot.
This just made me so sad for him because he's working 17 hours a day. He comes home to spend 1 hour with his daughter. She's not there.
Yeah. So now Eric is working constantly. He's never seeing his kid. He's lonely. His wife is browbeating him. He's in a very bad place. He's on medication for depression. And I'm just screaming, call Ryan. Call your dad.
I know.
They will tell you you're not crazy.
Yep.
They will answer the phone. They are praying for this phone call.
Yeah. And it's like, you know, he just wants the relationship to work. And she, like, he just doesn't see that she just doesn't. It's never
going to work.
It's never going to work.
With her, it's never going to work.
And it just makes me sad for the kid. It makes me sad for him not ever seeing his kid.
Yeah, it's miserable. And for what?
Yeah.
For what? So by March of 2007, Eric and Rosa separate. And he's like, well, no, I didn't make that decision. She just walked out. She left him.
Right. Like, and he makes that, he laughs when he says that. He's like, I never agreed to separate.
He's
she
the
just
catch.
Left me. Right,
he's
exactly.
the catch, doing everything for his family, everything that Rosa wants, and she leaves him.
And the way that she's manipulated the situation, she's got complete control of all the assets, the house, the kid, all the bank accounts, all the money that he's putting into the bank accounts, he has no access to.
Yeah. So he's working 18 hours a day. She controls everything else. And then when she leaves, he has nowhere to go.
Yeah.
So Eric goes to his grandmother's house, Sally, who he loves, and Sally loves him.
And the thing about this is that, like, remember, he's been isolated from his family. He basically cut them all off over a year ago. His dad's like, he showed up in the middle of the night out of nowhere.
And everyone's relieved and thrilled to see him.
The grandmother was like, get in here.
And let that be a lesson to all of us.
Yeah.
Call your friends and family. They are waiting for you.
Totally.
Even if you cut them off, they're waiting for you.
Yep.
If you have gotten yourself out of a situation, thank God, and you need to go to them, go to them.
Go to them.
We'll answer the phone.
Yeah.
If she called me right now, that friend of mine, I would answer it in a heartbeat.
Oh my God. If my friend that I haven't talked to in 10 years called me, I'd be like, girl, I gotta go. I gotta take this call.
Yeah, of course.
You know?
Like, we are there for you.
Yes.
Hello. So Lester is the grandmother's boyfriend, okay?
Oh, we love Lester.
This is the cutest thing ever. So Lester loved Sally the grandmother. Sally the grandmother loved Lester.
It's a minor detail that they throw in at some point. We should say they've been together for 11 years by this point.
Yeah. And they have like their little routines.
Yeah.
And Lester is like the best. So they spent most of the week together. And when they were apart,
she always scheduled time so that they could talk on the phone. You could almost set your clock by the time they would call each other because that's how regimented she was.
They had happy hour at 4 o'clock whenever they weren't together.
And we'll get to that. It's the best.
But you and me, when we're in our 80s, I want that packed right
that
now.
That 4 p.m.
happy
ring,
hour.
Ring.
Girl. Yeah.
Because
girl.
Eric says you could set your clock to the time they call each other. This was very important, this 4 o'clock phone call.
But I
and like, this will become important to the case, too.
Yes, but it wasn't a 4 o'clock chamomile tea time. It was 4 o'clock happy
hour. Cocktail hour.
They're having cocktails.
Yes.
I'm obsessed.
Yeah. I mean, I love, like, I just love the idea of happy hour and cocktail hour. Like, sometimes when we're, like, with my parents over Christmas or we're there for the weekend, like, it's not an uncommon thing for one or both of my parents to come down and go, what time is it? Is it happy hour?
I know.
Like, what are we?
I wish I grew up with a parent that drank. My mom's been in recovery, which she doesn't mind me saying. She's been in recovery for 45 years or something.
Wow,
now.
Yeah.
So, like, I have one memory of my mom having, like, a bottle of Jack Daniels on the counter when I was maybe in third grade.
Wow.
And then mom went right into recovery, and I wish my parents drank. Like,
yeah.
I, you know what I mean? Daisy is not going to be for lack of memories of her parents drinking.
No. And it's not like that's code for let's get hammered. But
is
it like social hour?
Oh,
like,
of course.
Like, my dad's going to stop his work. I'll stop my, you know, it's
oh,
like.
Oh, God, that's the
are
best.
Are we just like
hanging out? We're all adults here.
Having snacks? Or sometimes I'll come downstairs and my dad's just like making his like amazing guacamole. And he's like, I just thought maybe we'd like have like snacks and like, you down? I'm like, am I down?
Am I down?
Yes.
down.
Yes.
And my down till.
Like always.
Oh my God.
He makes the best guac.
Ugh.
So June 2007, 3 months after the separation, whatever you want to call it.
At this point, Rosa wasn't letting me see her daughter at all. I asked her if I could come up and visit on her first birthday. Rosa just flat out refused.
He wants to go see her for her first birthday. Rosa says absolutely not.
Like she's a fucking
crazy.
Miserable cow. Sorry, cows. I'm sorry. I love cows. You're very sweet.
I've never heard you use that expression
she's
before.
A miserable pothole. I think we said that.
Bajigaloop.
That's what
Sophia Petrillo would say.
Yes, exactly. And it's just like, power and manipulation and control and whatever.
Yeah.
So Eric is like, fuck this. I'm suing for custody.
And I'm so glad that he finally got there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because I'm like, you can't, like, she has no right to do this to you.
But of course, it gets ugly.
Yeah.
Obviously. So Rosa emails, like, immediately she goes to 100.
This is psychotic.
She emails Eric's, this is one of the many psychotic, like, this is where the psychosis, you really see it full,
yeah.
Because she just is not hiding. There's
right.
No mask anymore. Like,
yeah.
This is full on insanity. She emails Eric's job saying he's crazy, he's off his medication, and he's going to, quote, shoot the place up.
I mean, she should go to prison for that, because Eric is saying right now, I've never owned a gun, and I've never violated the medication protocol my doctors put me on. Like, that is just a lie. And he gets taken off his job while they investigate this. This is like an unpaid forced leave while they investigate.
And like, how hateful and mean do you have to be?
Or
like,
just insane.
This is how you know you're dealing with a crazy person,
yeah.
Because, and someone who only wants chaos, because
yeah.
It's dangerous because you can't reason with them. So
right.
She's just throwing everything, the worst things at the wall. And this is not the worst thing she does.
No, but I just think that when this is investigated and it's found out that this is not true, there should be consequences. You should not be able to get away with that. If she did nothing else, this could be a life ruiner.
I agree. Completely, because it doesn't really matter what the truth is because it's
right.
Out there now. So like the damage has been done.
Totally.
And eventually it gets to a point where the truth doesn't matter.
Right.
And that is infuriating.
And that's what she wants.
She wants
so much chaos that one agency is investigating here and another agency is investigating
right.
There. And he's just under so much suspicion. And he's kind of an introverted guy. It's not like he can just get out there and be like, this isn't real. This
right.
Isn't true.
But also now he has lawyer's fees and he has
yes.
All of these other fees and he's not working as much because of this. So
yep.
it's like a life ruiner tenfold because of how it's affecting everything in his life.
It is kind of amazing because it all does eventually backfire on her. Like
yes.
In this instance, when he's clear to go back to work, a judge now gives him 50% custody.
Right.
Which
up from zero custody.
Which I don't know how custody laws work. Like, does she have full custody just because she's the one who took the kid?
And it's like, so she's just lying to the court?
Right.
Like, and when it comes out that like, oh, there's no evidence that he was ever going to do something violent at
right.
His job, like, why are there no consequences for her?
That's what I'm saying. Like, and if for no other reason than to stop other people from doing this,
yeah.
You know?
And Eric says, like, I'm finally getting to see my daughter, but he missed a lot of big moments. He's still
yeah.
Upset. Like, again, damage has been done.
Right.
And now, like, the last time he saw her, he says she was a little baby, and now she's a toddler. And
yeah.
He missed all of that.
I know.
For what?
And, like, just because she said so.
Just because she said so. Now, because this tactic didn't work, she pivots. And
right.
A few months later, Rosa has a new allegation, and now she's accusing Eric of sexually abusing their daughter, which, again, is a life-ruining accusation.
And what no one is mentioning here is that this is traumatizing for the child, because when an accusation like this is made, there is an examination of the child,
yes.
And there is questioning of the child.
I was going to say it later. I'll say it now. Rosa doesn't give a shit about that kid.
No, absolutely
because
not.
Because she's ruining her life.
Yes. This is traumatizing to the child beyond what it's doing to Eric.
And it's also a lie, to
yeah,
be clear.
Exactly.
This is a complete, complete lie.
Yeah.
Because Casey Bates from the DA's office or whatever is here, and he's like, we investigated this thing into the ground. There's no evidence of anything. She totally lied.
Yeah, and this is when it occurs to Eric, and I didn't get this until the second time I watched it.
I think May wanted to have grandkids, and I think she probably pushed Rosa into the relationship with me. I think, you know, because May knew me from work and I think May liked me, but Rosa just wanted me gone.
Rosa never wanted this, went along with it because her mom's a bully.
Yeah.
And is now like trying to bully her own way out of this
and
thing.
And the cycle of abuse is just continuing.
Exactly.
That's where we are.
Yeah.
If you're shopping while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast, then you know and love the thrill of a deal. But are you getting the deal and cash back? Rakuten shoppers do. They get the brands they love, savings, and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Target, Nike, and Instacart. Stack sales on top of cash back and feel what it's like to know you're maximizing the savings. It's easy to use and you can get your cash back sent to you through PayPal or check. The idea is simple. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back. Download the free Rakuten app or go to Rakuten.com to start saving today. It's the most rewarding way to shop. That's R-A-K-U-T-E-N, Rakuten.com.
Forget the pressure to overhaul your life. The new year doesn't need a new you. It needs you. Grounded, supported, and ready to grow. Grow Therapy helps you make meaningful change at your pace and on your time. Whether it's your first time in therapy or your 50th, Grow makes it easier to find a therapist who fits you, not the other way around. They connect you with thousands of independent, licensed therapists across the U.S., offering both virtual and in-person sessions, nights, and weekends. You can search by what matters, like insurance, specialty, identity, or availability, to get started in as little as 2 days. And if something comes up, you can cancel up to 24 hours in advance at no cost. There are no subscriptions and no long-term commitments. You just pay per session. Grow helps you find therapy on your time. Whatever challenges you're facing, Grow Therapy is here to help. Grow accepts over 100 insurance plans, including Medicaid, in some states. Sessions average about $21 with insurance, and some pay as little as $0, depending on their plan. Visit growtherapy.com/get started today to get started. That's growtherapy.com/get started. growtherapy.com/get started. Availability and coverage vary by state and insurance plan.
But because of this, Rose's custody starts to decrease.
Yes.
Now, I know you might want to celebrate, but don't.
Yeah.
Because she is angry and she has nothing to lose. And that's a very dangerous combination. So don't celebrate.
No. And I think that the system should know this is a dangerous person. Anybody who's going to make these false allegations should
two
not
of
just
them.
Yeah. Should not just be in custody. They should be monitoring her. She is a not well, scary person.
And it's starting to happen. And Rose is making it worse across the board. So they have like a court mediator. She's constantly picking fights. She doesn't have a conversation with this person. That's not a fight. Well, that's not getting reported about.
And what that tells you about Rosa in this instance is that that person, that social worker, is the one making the reports to the judge. She doesn't even care. She right. knows this person is reporting back to the judge. This woman
she
is insane.
She just wants to watch it all burn.
Exactly.
That's it. That's
yes.
what she's in it for.
Yep.
She doesn't give a shit about her daughter. Her daughter is a pawn
yes.
in this fucked up psychotic game.
Oh, God.
She doesn't care. But the thing is, it's all backfiring.
Yeah.
So she wants the chaos. She wants to watch it all burn. And then everyone's like, okay, we're reducing your custody. We're
right.
taking this away from you. It's all backfiring
yeah.
on her. And so over time, it goes from 50-50 custody to 70-30 and eventually 85% physical custody for Eric, but 100% legal custody.
But what ends up happening here is that May, the mom, she now gets what she wants because she's the grandmother. Remember, she was the co-worker of Eric and they're still on good terms. And so now suddenly May is the one that Eric is turning to, probably letting her like watch the kid all the time because he and Rosa are not speaking at all. She's the go-between.
Right.
Now she's got all the access to the kid.
And May has made it that like she's the reasonable one. Rosa is crazy and unreasonable.
Yes.
May is sort of is like solace for Eric in this situation.
Totally.
And it's all bullshit. It's all fake.
And it scares me for him because he's being lulled into this false sense of like, I can trust this woman.
Right. Now, January 7th, 2009, 4 o'clock, ring, ring. Lester calls the grandmother to have their cocktail hour together over the phone. It's
yeah.
so cute. I love this.
I know.
Like 4 o'clock phone dates. It's
you know, they drink
thing.
Like old fashions.
It's so cute.
You know,
it's so cute.
It's so cute.
So, but it's 4 o'clock. Remember, you could set your clock to it.
Yeah.
4 o'clock. Sally doesn't answer.
And we hear his voicemails. He
called again.
Hi, Sally. Where are you? 4:15.
Each time he called, he sounded more distressed.
Keep quiet. Trying to call you.
You can hear in his voice his concern became more and more heightened.
Sally, where are you?
Lester's calling over and over again. It's 4:05, it's 4:15, and it's so sad because he's so stressed out
yes,
on the
and
calls.
It's getting worse and worse
He's
and worse.
Really worried, and eventually it's 5. Like,
yeah.
this is not good, and he's in panic mode, and he should be because we know their schedule. They are in constant contact.
Yes.
5 o'clock, he's going to 100, and that's where he should be.
Right, so he sends his son and daughter-in-law over to do a welfare check. Now, they go, and they knock on the door, and no one comes to the door. And just then, Eric pulls up. Remember, he lives
there. He's living there, yeah.
And he has not met Lester's son, Jeff, and his wife, wife, Uta, but they're all meeting for the first time now. They all go into the house through the garage door. Jeff and Uta stay downstairs. Eric and his daughter go upstairs.
Eric has his daughter with him.
Yes, yes.
That's important.
And so Jeff doesn't see the grandmother anywhere.
But you know who is in the house?
Yeah.
May, Rose's mother.
May appears like a fucking horror movie behind Eric upstairs.
She just
upstairs.
Like material. It's like one of those jump scares with the violin. No. You're like, oh my God.
No, totally. And there's no reason in the world for her to be there.
No reason. And she's like, oh, hi. Like, oh, this is all totally normal.
Imagine you're at your house looking for your grandmother and your random coworker like walks out of the bathroom.
The mother of your psychotic wife who has two false life-ruining allegations against you.
None of them have ever been in this house before, and now she's just there and in the upstairs bedroom.
And so she's like, hey, oh my God, this is super normal and totally fine.
Don't worry about it.
Your grandmother called me. Yep. Sally called me. It's all good. She's downstairs at the garage. Why doesn't everyone just leave?
Let's all do happy hour
with
her.
Let's all stop talking about it. And everyone leave. Yep. And just trust me and believe me and everything's fine. And we'll never talk about this again. Cool?
So he's like, that doesn't make any sense. Let me leave my daughter with you while I go and check. I am screaming. This is now a fucking horror movie.
So just then, Rosa jumps out from the baby's room wearing a black trench coat.
Now, Rosa's the crazy psychotic ex.
Yes.
In the house with her mother.
Hiding, creeping around, hiding.
Yes.
In a black trench coat. And she jumps out of the baby's room and shoots Eric with a taser gun. Like, she tases him.
This is like an action film all of a sudden.
And then it gets worse. Everything you're about to hear is worse than the thing we just said.
Yeah.
Rosa was kicking me and May was hitting me with a baton. And I kind of got it together enough to start to fight back. There was two of them, so like I could kick one away, but then the other was hitting me, and then when I could push the other one away, then the first one was back and attacking me again.
It's three people in a fucking melee upstairs.
Yes.
The daughter's probably screaming at the top of her lungs wherever she is. So they go, they get a neighbor to call 911.
We hear the 911 call.
So Rosa is kicking him. They are beating Eric. Where is the daughter? And where is Sally, the grandmother?
Right,
we
exactly.
We have no eyes on anybody.
I forgot. I was so concerned about the daughter, I forgot that we were here
where
to find the grandmother.
Where is she?
I know.
So Eric is fighting back the best he can. He pushes one of the, like, he would push one away and then another would.
He's been tased. You know what I mean? Yeah.
So he's doing his best. And at one point, one of them drops the baton. He grabs it and just starts swinging.
Yes.
So he's fighting back. Rosa and May overpower Eric. They get the baton back. Now they have it over his throat. They're trying to choke him to death.
And Rosa comes out of the bedroom with a gun. Because May is on top of him with the baton trying to choke him. And then Rosa comes out with the gun pointing it at him and he stops fighting.
And she puts the gun on his chest.
Yes.
And again, like, why are you doing this?
I know.
Like, do you really think you're going to get away with this?
I know.
Because May says to Eric, are you going to give up custody of your daughter or not? And that's when Rosa cocks the gun. Now, in this moment, Eric, like any one of us would, agrees to custody.
Of course.
You say whatever you have to say to get out of that situation. You deal with the rest later. There's no way they're getting custody after all this. Just say yes.
But he's like feeling guilty even now, saying that he was like willing to, quote, give up custody.
Eric, I know you weren't.
Yeah.
You were saying that was survival. You were in fight or flight. You said what you had to say to get them to
survive
the
moment
away and you'll deal with the custody thing in a second.
Yeah.
I totally get it.
Yeah.
So their daughter, we learn finally.
My daughter, she was locked in a dark bathroom. And I could hear her screaming, you know, daddy, daddy, daddy.
I couldn't do anything for her. And I just didn't want to die.
Eric is saying to us, he's sobbing, saying he could hear her pounding on the door, screaming, daddy, daddy, daddy.
Screaming for him.
Yeah.
Screaming for him. His grandmother, where is she?
I know.
This guy, he's just been brutally attacked by his soon-to-be ex-wife.
And, like, he's got a gun on him. He doesn't know what she's going
to
do.
No, she, and these people, that's the thing. They have nothing to lose.
Yeah.
They're trying to kill him. Like, this is a terrifying moment.
Yeah.
5:58, Eric finally starts to hear the sirens come. Help is coming.
But this isn't necessarily a good thing because Rosa's still got the gun on him and now she knows the cops are coming.
Is this, like,
so no, he doesn't know what's going to happen.
She could kill him. She has nothing to lose. Like, she doesn't give a shit.
Yeah.
Now, Jared is the cop at the scene.
Yeah, he hears, poor fucking guy.
like, he's like, what is going on?
I know.
Because he gets there.
Not
and he goes,
since Malice at the Palace.
He goes, I don't know who's my victim and who's my suspect.
Exactly.
Here. Everyone is beat within an inch of their lives. What, the baby's in the bathroom. I'm looking for a grandmother. She's not here.
He sees that she, like, he gets in the house, goes up the stairs, sees these two women. One of them has a gun. Eric's on the ground. Normally you would think the man, and also May is in the hallway with her face all
beaten
and bloodied.
There are weapons everywhere. There's blood everywhere. Like, you walk into the scene, you can't make sense of it.
And of course you're going to assume that the man is the aggressor. Of course you are.
And the cops, now here's what happens. The cops tell everyone to stay where they are so they can, like, assess the situation and do what they need to do. Eric doesn't listen to this.
Now, I'm on Eric's side because Rosa still has the gun. And so Eric is saying—
And he doesn't know where she is.
Right. And he's like—
They were yelling at me not to move. But I also knew that Rosa was pointing a gun. So I kept moving where I knew at least Rosa couldn't hit me from where she was. I just was like, get away, get away, get away.
She still got the gun. If she wants to kill me, it's going to happen now. The cop is not going
to
stop it.
And just to be clear, to paint this picture, it's Eric who's been beaten.
Yes.
May, the mother, and the cop. Rosa is not here.
Right.
Eric knows that Rosa is in the house with a gun and unhinged. The cop doesn't know that.
Right.
So for Eric to hear, say where you are, Eric's like, absolutely not. My daughter and my grandmother are in this house. This woman has a gun. Like, he runs.
Yeah. And so the cop tases him. He gets tased a second time. And he goes, this one was really powerful.
Yeah, I mean.
Like, this is a cop taser.
And the cop goes, well, that way we could control the scene. And I'm like, oh my God.
I know.
Eric is screaming, my 2-year-old daughter. Like, he's screaming about everything. He's been tased twice in the last 10 minutes. The cops go and he's like, please get my fucking daughter.
I know.
She's screaming in the bathroom. She's traumatized. Please.
I'm like, at least he can still speak.
Right.
You know?
The cop goes upstairs to go to the bathroom to rescue the daughter.
Yeah.
As he's walking, he notices in a room, he sees a mirror.
Yes.
And in the reflection, like a ghost, like a horror movie, he sees Rosa's reflection and he sees that she's hiding in one of the bedrooms.
Like, this is utterly insane.
So the cops handcuff everyone.
Yes.
They've had it. They're like, we got to handcuff everybody. And they put them all in different
Sometimes
cars.
I'm like, are they going to run out of handcuffs? How many handcuffs does each cop have?
I mean, like, crazy.
You know?
This is so sad because they put them all in different cars. And Eric describes watching the CPS worker take his daughter from the house and, like, hand her over. And he's just like, how did this happen?
Yeah, but this is when he's like, where's my grandmother?
Where's Sally?
It was in this moment that I was like, oh my God, Sally, you know? Because they're saying she can't leave on her own. Like, if she needed to have left with help. There was no help for her.
And she missed—
Where is she?
And not making a joke, it sounds funny, but, like, she missed her 4 o'clock happy hour call. Her and Lester are in constant contact.
Yes.
This is a major red flag.
Yeah.
Now, Yesenia, thank God there's a woman here.
Yeah.
She's been on the force for 3 years at the time of the incident. She's awesome.
Yeah.
But she's the one who's listening to Eric. Hears about Sally and she's like, wait a second.
Yeah, someone's missing.
Because he's like, they did something to her.
Yes.
They attacked me. They threw my daughter in the bathroom and locked the door. My grandmother's missing. And Yesenia's like, we should be listening to him and looking for the grandmother.
Yes.
Hello. Thank you, Yesenia.
Yeah.
So they go back in and search for Sally. Where is she? Meanwhile, they're also searching May and Rosa to see like what they have on them.
And they found a revolver in one of Rosa's pockets, which led us more to believe that maybe these are our suspects as opposed to Eric.
Eric lived at that residence, so he had a reason to be there. Rosa and May had no reason to be there. They did not live there whatsoever.
Because also Eric lived there. He had every right to be there.
Like,
they didn't.
I cannot imagine what is going through Eric's mind.
No.
What to explain, my grandmother's missing, my daughter is here. I know I'm the man, but they're the one trying to kill me.
Yeah, and this
makes
is my
no
house.
Sense.
I'm allowed to be here.
Exactly.
They are not, and they also hate me.
Yes.
And they hate my family, and they're miserable.
Forget the pressure to overhaul your life. The new year doesn't need a new you. It needs you. Grounded, supported, and ready to grow. Grow Therapy helps you make meaningful change at your pace and on your time. Whether it's your first time in therapy or your 50th, Grow makes it easier to find a therapist who fits you, not the other way around. They connect you with thousands of independent, licensed therapists across the U.S., offering both virtual and in-person sessions, nights, and weekends. You can search by what matters, like insurance, specialty, identity, or availability, to get started in as little as 2 days. And if something comes up, you can cancel up to 24 hours in advance at no cost. There are no subscriptions and no long-term commitments. You just pay per session. Grow helps you find therapy on your time. Whatever challenges you're facing, Grow Therapy is here to help. Grow accepts over 100 insurance plans, including Medicaid, in some states. Sessions average about $21 with insurance, and some pay as little as $0, depending on their plan. Visit growtherapy.com/get started today to get started. That's growtherapy.com/get started. growtherapy.com/get started. Availability and coverage vary by state and insurance plan.
So they drag Rosa downtown for an interview. It's January 8th. It's now 12:56 in the morning.
And they're arrested on suspicion of a felony. So they know, like, something's here now. Because Yesenia is like, something more sinister is going on here. Yeah. This is not like a domestic dispute. Like, there's more.
She's got a revolver in her pocket.
Come on.
Yeah. So we see Rosa's police interview. And she's telling the cops they are at Sally's house because of this ongoing custody dispute.
So she goes to the house. No one answered the door. So she lets herself into a house that isn't hers.
Yeah.
And then still never saw the grandmother. Never to this day, never saw the grandmother.
And they say that when Eric arrived, he went berserk. She says he threw me to the floor. He had a gun in his hand. At some point, he must have dropped the gun. So I picked it up and put it in my pocket. I was like, at least you're thinking on your feet, Rosa.
They, like, you know? She describes it as, I wanted to talk to Eric. I went to the house, let myself in. No one was home.
Yeah.
So we sat nicely with our arms folded in silence and waited for Eric to come back. And when he came home, he went crazy.
But they're also talking about how, like, remarkably composed she is. Both her and May are, like, calm as fuck, which, like, does or could lend an air of credibility to what they're saying. Nobody believes them.
Nobody believes them. Because she's being really deceptive. She's not really answering the questions. Or she'd talk around it. Like, if you really hear what she's saying, she's not saying anything.
No, and, like, May had been taken to the hospital, and she really was beaten. Like, when he grabbed that baton, and
I mean, good.
But he must have gotten a few good swings in.
He was protecting himself, his daughter, his grandmother. These people are out to kill him.
I cannot imagine the agony of hearing my daughter locked in the bathroom, banging on the door, screaming for help.
Not knowing where, there's two of them, two psychopaths trying to violently kill you, and you don't know where one of them is, and all you hear is your daughter screaming, and you hear nothing from the grandmother, because where is she?
Right. Oh, God.
We find the grandmother.
Yes.
As they're talking to them downtown or whatever, Eric's grandmother has been found, Selma, but she goes by Sally.
Yeah.
They go into the backyard, and there's a shed that has a lock on it, and they're like,
uh-oh.
We further investigated into that shed, and we saw a garbage can through a crack in the door, and in that garbage can, we could see some bed sheets, which seemed kind of strange to us, to have bed sheets in a garbage can in an exterior shed. We were able to get some bolt cutters and open that shed, and before doing anything, we saw that from those bed sheets, we could see what looked to be a human foot.
They see that Sally has been killed, and they found her body locked in the shed.
They found her, like, wrapped in a bed sheet, stuffed in a trash can.
Head first into a garbage can. Like, how evil. These people are evil.
Because
what happens is they wanted to get the daughter away from Eric. Like, it's just growing and growing in their evilness.
It's just, how did you ever think you were going to... I mean, eventually we'll hear what the cops think their plan was. But it's like, how did you...
They wrote it down.
They wrote...
We're back again. We just said this last week.
I know. Stay fucking stupid.
Keep it up.
Yeah.
But it's just so evil. Like, what is wrong with you to do that? Like, why kill her? Why? Because she was there?
Right.
Like, what... So you did go there to kill Eric, and then the grandmother was just, like, collateral damage in your evil
scheme?
She's
been, like, a witness or whatever. Yeah.
Like, it's... So the cops know Rosa is lying, and they press her on seeing Sally, the grandmother, because she's like, okay, you didn't see her inside, fine, but what about outside? What about that shed?
Because now they know about the shed, but Rosa doesn't know they know about the shed.
How are they not going to find out? The shed is, it's not an invisible shed.
Exactly.
You fucking idiot. So when they mention the shed, Yesenia says that Rosa had a physical reaction.
Yeah.
Her lip quivered.
Yeah.
Good use of the word quiver.
Totally.
So 2 days later, the autopsy comes back. Sally Hill died by strangulation, which is, again, we know is like a really personal way. Like, they hated Eric and anyone supporting him. I'm sure Sally had some choice words for these two.
Totally.
Lunatics.
Well, and they say that she was covered in defensive wounds. She definitely put up a fight. I mean, she was in her 80s.
These, like, absolute pieces
monsters.
Of shit. So they need to prove that Rosa and May did this and not Eric, which is what Rosa and May are claiming.
Yeah, and their big evidence is...
At the scene of this crime, there were two tasers, there were two stun guns, there were two handguns, two of pretty much everything, which leads me to believe that there were going to be two people that were going to go in and had a plan to carry out this crime.
Two people came here, May and Rosa, to do this crime together.
Right.
Like, Eric didn't bring two tasers, two stun guns, and two...
He didn't have to bring anything anywhere. He lived there.
Exactly.
So they also found a black backpack on the side of the house.
This is absolutely terrifying.
They describe it as a burglary kidnap pack. I'm like, this is the stuff of nightmares pack.
Yeah.
Brown and green braided rope. Crossbows.
A
hunting knife, a throwing star, a glass cutter, a crowbar. This is like what Dwight Schrute would have.
A throwing star. That's like a real thing, apparently.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yes.
Oh, my God.
So, also, Rosa's car was found half a block away.
Yeah.
And more insane things were found, like a samurai sword and, like, leg cuffs and restraints.
Like,
What
were they really planning on doing?
But there's more.
Yeah.
Because their house in Brentwood is described as a jackpot.
Oh, my God.
They find guns. They find ammunition. They find knives.
They find the tag for the gun found at the scene.
And handwritten notes
about
the crime. And just crime. Crime in general.
I know.
Weirdly enough. Crime equals desire, ability, opportunity.
Rosa.
Also, revenge spells.
Uh-huh. I know.
That shit comes back times three. I'm just saying, don't do it. And a list of people, Eric Hill, Selena Hill, Gregory Hill.
Yeah.
Like, all of these people written down. I'm like, do we have eyes on these other people? So they write on, like, December 9th, 2008, save BB, meaning their daughter.
Baby, yeah.
Cancel the ATM account, schedule appointment for all this. It's a checklist. We just did this last week.
We just did this. I know.
It's a checklist. And then on one of those checklists, target practice.
Oof.
Disgusting. So they planned this for at least a month.
At least.
Rosa was stalking Eric. She was taking notes, tracking his every move.
Tracking him to the daycare to see when he's picking up his daughter.
Like, figuring out the best time to do this.
Yes.
Essentially. And then...
How do you live with this plan in your head for a month? It's crazy.
And then they searched the computers.
One of the main things that stood out from the forensic search on the computers was a Google search that said, how to murder.
How to murder.
How to murder. Keep it up. Stay stupid.
House long to die in cold.
Oh, my God. Stop. So.
Did you see your face?
Yes.
Did you see your face?
So, also, the best way to kill without being traced.
Definitely not.
Don't Google. Step number one, like, even the AI response will say, don't do this.
I'm sorry. It is like when Daisy Speedy Hamster died. Aww. And we literally Googled how to know if your hamster's dead. And the first response is, if you're Googling this, your hamster's dead.
Poor little thing. May she rest. But not like we need anything else.
Yeah.
But there's DNA that proves it too. I mean,
right. Obviously
these two did it.
How to murder and get away with it. Like,
the best way to kill without being traced.
Like,
the cops are like, this is the easiest gig we ever had.
Go ask the cops.
Like,
they'll tell
please.
You. Yeah.
So I'll never say no to DNA. We have it everywhere.
Yeah.
Like, great. They tried, what's so crazy, these fucking idiots, is that they tried so hard to, quote, remain traceless.
Oh, my God.
And all we have are traces of them everywhere.
Look, we just did this. It is never going to happen. You're not smarter than DNA. You're not smarter than the system.
Their
I'm sorry.
Checklist, they called it Operation Custody.
Oh, my God.
You idiots.
And they say this was the plan. The plan was to kill the grandmother, blame the murder on Eric.
Frame Eric for murder.
For the murder of his grandmother.
Their plan continued that in that moment of despair, Eric Hill would kill himself and there'd be no legal custody for anyone except for Rosa Hill. It would have been proven that she was right all along, that Eric was a molester, that she didn't pull a fraud on the court, and that she was rightfully reunited with her child.
So make it look like he put her in the garbage can and in that moment was overcome with grief and then killed himself.
Yeah.
So like in the house, he was minutes from them forcing him to write some kind of letter that he probably would have done, then taking him out to the shed where they would have killed him.
But they stupidly just said, okay, like I'm going to point the gun at him and force him to agree to full custody and then be done with it. If he said no to that, they would probably do that.
But you know what is crazy? If Lester's son and daughter-in-law hadn't been there, he probably would be dead. Mm-hmm. Because the only reason the cops came was because they ran out of the house and went to the neighbor.
Lester had every right to go to 100.
Oh, my God.
Every right.
This is just occurring to me. Like, if he would be dead.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Ugh.
Yeah. It's crazy. So we get the on-screen text. On June 28th, 2011, Rosa Hill was found guilty of the murder of Selma Sally Hill and the attempted murder of Eric Hill. The attempted
I know.
Murder. I have the hiccups all of a sudden. Great. Great. I'm so worked up. I have the freaking hiccups.
She's got the hickeys.
I got the hicks. Rosa was sentenced to 25 years to life.
Not enough. That's not enough time.
Her mother was convicted of premeditated attempted murder and is also serving a life sentence.
Like,
it's just so awful. They murdered a 91-year-old life of the party woman who everyone loved, who loved life.
They were never going to get away with it. You're never going to get away with it.
Never.
Never.
Even that custody thing, like, oh, Eric agreed to full custody. In that moment, dumb
you
girl.
Idiot.
Like, shut up. Like, you fucking loser.
Well, I love that Gregory, the dad, is not ending on forgiveness. Like, this was a long time ago. This was almost 20 years ago that this happened. And he's like, yeah, I'm still mad.
Yeah,
still mad.
Because they also didn't give a shit about their daughter.
Right.
But he said, he's like, they say you should forgive.
Yeah.
And he goes, well, I think it would be a disservice to humanity to forgive. So again, standing up, slow clapping. Amazing. In the immortal words of Taylor Allison Swift, you don't have to forgive and you don't have to forget to move on. You can move on without any of those things happening.
100%.
So Lester, unfortunately, passed away. Lester, the boyfriend, the fun boyfriend, passed away less than a year after Sally Hill was murdered. He was just so devastated. And it ends with like, so Eric, like, how are you? And he's like,
I'm doing fine. I'm wonderful. I've been a good father. I've had a good family. The irony of all of this is that I have led the life that Rosa and I talked about having. And she missed out on all of it.
He doesn't have this albatross around his neck, this miserable existence, even without the murder and the attacks. Like, it was just miserable for him to be with this drip of a person.
And he says he's living the life that he and Rosa had, like, initially fantasized about, like, early on in their relationship.
He says, I'm a single dad. It's not always easy, but his daughter has grown into a wonderful woman. She's a talented artist. And he's just, like, watching her shine.
I love that the daughter's not a part of this.
Like, and in spite of every attempt to have his life ruined, Eric's like, I survived and I'm doing great.
Yeah.
Like, and my daughter's great and I have a great relationship with them. And you couldn't keep me down, Rosa and
May. No, we love you, Eric.
Oh my God. And BFF Ryan.
And BFF Ryan.
I'm the dad.
Oh, girl, we did Worst Ex Ever.
Yeah. Episode 3.
Killing for Custody.
I mean, my God.
My God. Fam, go check out our YouTube channel. This is our first episode recorded with our new digs in the new studs.
Yeah, and it's like a work in progress.
It's going to get better and better. We're having so much fun. Join us on the Patreon but only if you like fun.
Only if you
like drag bingo. May and roses need not apply.
Yeah, we don't want you.
Girl, what are we doing next?
We are doing Disappeared in the Darkness, an ID mystery. It's on Hulu. It's on Amazon Prime.
What's it about?
It's a sad story, I gotta tell you.
All right, great.
Sorry to say.
And yet, I'm so used to the comedies we usually cover.
Like, I know. Can you imagine?
Please.
One day, we should do a fun one.
Well, fam, stay tuned for the trailer for that, and we love you.
Yeah, we love you. We'll see you soon.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, bye.
Bye.
It's one of the most devastating crimes in recent history.
This little girl has been taken from her family before the Christmas holiday. My heart.
20-year-old Heather Elvis vanishes without a trace.
It was the darkest, most desolate place in Horry County.
There's a desperation for answers, and we don't have them.
They were harassing this 20-year-old woman, and she was absolutely terrified.
We speak exclusively with Heather's anxious family and friends.
I'm one of those people who needs facts. I wanted proof. I wanted to know what happened.
There are so many things unfinished in her life. So many things that she doesn't get to do.
And go inside two of the most contentious trials of recent times.
This junk science, there's no science to it. It is complete bull.
You said, well, Cindy cheated on me in the months of September and October with a psycho whore.
Right? It's all a game. Everything's a game, and it's not a game.
The new year brings new health goals and wealth goals. Protecting your identity is an important step. Your info is in endless places that could expose you to identity theft, leading to lost funds. LifeLock monitors millions of data points per second. If your identity is stolen, LifeLock's restoration specialists will fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Resolve to make identity, health, and wealth part of your New Year's goals with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
Disease hit hard this year, huh?
Yeah. Mother Nature threw the kitchen sink at us. Tar spots, southern rust. We had everything.
I didn't know if my fungicide would hold, but Miravis Neo really came through. Even with that dry spell, our yield monitor did not disappoint.
Seriously?
Yep, and with results like this, I'm sticking with it.
No matter what next season brings, protect your ROI with Meribus Neo. Call your retailer to lock in your supply today. Always read and follow label instructions.